You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
Not a French one. We must take this nobility and cut them down to size. Come, my friend Robert, bring the prisoners in.
You get no mercy for mocking the crown.
Mon Dieu!
Put him along with the others. Ah, yes, Louis the 16th, otherwise known as Le Danger. The dog. See, we say that in English because we are so poor. We don't even have a language, just a stupid accent. And while you're having your fancy parties, the zombies are starting to get into Paris. What do you have to say for yourself, Doge?
Ha ha! Oui, oui, je ne sais quoi. Le cat go meow.
And you, Marose Antoinette, with your Austrian croissants, and actually those are pretty good, we're keeping those. You, with your fancy diamond necklaces, all we can do for employment is be a background singer in Les Miserables. It's not even the same timeline, and it's hard to sing when you've got a zombie trying to eat your face.
Que mangeons du gâteau?
Bring Joseph Guillotine with his fancy machine and hopefully we can get all the nobility in time. Viva la France! Viva la Revolution!
So what accent was that?
Yes.
See, we were so poor, we didn't even have a language and an accent. See, we're just such poor peasants.
Because that turned to Scottish.
Like I said, the poverty and oppression of the French nobility, that's what they did to us.
It checks out.
Anyway, hello everyone. Today we are reviewing La Révolution, the latest French sort of supernatural drama series on Netflix that involves both historical French Revolution and zombie hordes. So would any of you like to go into the synopsis of it?
What I did know about the show is the writers on all of the episodes do horrible with their names. Gaia Guasti, Aurelien Molas. That's probably not it. They're responsible for stuff in the last couple of years like Get In, the horror movie on Netflix, and Iskander, the French Guiana local mythology cop show that's on Shudder, and Room. The Room, which is the room that grants you wishes the people find in their house, also on Shudder. So I was really excited about, you know, when I heard this might be a genre thing, where we're going. We opened this in 1789 France, I assume in Versailles, with Ni Roi Ni Maître, or No King Nor Master, spray painted on the wall, blood everywhere. And a small French young woman is telling us that, you know, we know this story about the French Revolution, but we probably don't know the real story. So she's going to go back to 1787 and we're going to have a go from there. Where we open is not in Versailles, but out in one of the country counties where possibly a woman has been eaten. We've got bodies in the woods. There's possibly a conspiracy of murders being covered up. And we have leaders at the top who are not really worried about the poor and a growing number of poor who have decided that that's not good enough for them.
And one of the main characters is Joseph Guillotine, who invented the guillotine in real life.
Yeah, one of the few real characters in this show.
So how did you guys feel about it? Just as a show in general, before you get into the whole historical accuracy, genre, historical drama type thing.
As far as these things go, this very weirdly specific historical zombie show, I liked it. I think I've seen it done a little bit better in other places, but yeah, I didn't hate it.
If you like Outlander, and if you like zombies, do I got a show for you?
I'd say if you like Penny Dreadful and The Terror and Game of Thrones, but you want something not as long and with a much less creatively restrictive budget, I had a blast with the show.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting in that, as we were talking before this review, most of us are big ol' history nerds. So I thought it was really interesting to look at the historical accuracy of it, because it does have Joseph Guillotine. It does have the poor being crazy poor and the rich not giving a damn about it. You know, there's a part where they're about to crash the Bastille, which really happened. You know, you have all these moments that are like, oh, this actually happened. And then things that are foreshadowing to what we know historically later on. It's like, oh, you invented the guillotine in order to stop a zombie horde, because the only way to stop them is chop off their heads. So you have this really interesting dynamic of how do we get something historically accurate, you know, as historically accurate as a TV show gets,
yeah,
but also make it flow with there are zombies. And I thought that was really clever the way they did it.
Yeah, more or less.
Yes, it's the unexpected sequel to Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about this setup? Because one of the things that did kind of confuse me is it's set up around these two sisters, and the younger one, she has like these premonitions and she's the narrator, although she is deaf. So that has a kind of weird dynamic. Did you think like the supernatural aspect blended into the French Revolution aspect well? Did it need tweaking? I mean, I already said I liked it, but did you guys?
Sometimes I kind of forgot that it was there. That's one of the things that made me feel like it was a little bit overstuffed, where, you know, the French Revolution and all the politics that led up to that, that's a big thing on its own. That's interesting. And then, yeah, throwing the zombies into it, that's also a lot and also interesting. And then you have this mystical, maybe voodoo, whatever it is, kind of thing going on top of that. And I'm just like, eh. So whenever that would come back into it, I would just kind of have a, oh yeah, this is part of it too, I forgot about that kind of reaction.
I did really dig the kind of ooziness of it. Like you said, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And some shows, I think, like to get into different take on the serial stuff where this episode is this, and so we're going to set up this back. This one is just, it keeps going. It's got these neat cold opens. It's got some pretty cool episode endings.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many things creatively. It made me feel a couple times that the mesh didn't quite work, in that you can slightly get the feeling, well, I'm sure maybe more than slightly for some, that the premise of where it's set and the historical aspect was probably a good way to pitch this, because if you take that part out of it, I don't know how you get this show made. There is a lot going on. We have zombies, we have some kind of mystical voodoo is the word that's used on the show, we have ghosts, we have CSI Versailles kind of theme to the first couple episodes.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool, and combined, I think it's why I really dug it. It reminded me, I mentioned Penny Dreadful, but there's a lot of HBO and maybe effects with stuff like The Alienist and stuff like that, where you just set it in this cool world and make enough stuff happen, and if it ticks along, you know, it's fun to watch. So
mm-hmm.
This was fun for me. Watched a lot of darker television, like stuff like Dark and Lovecraft Country, and some stuff like that is fun, but this, I think, is leading up to a revisionist take on the massacres in Versailles, and Quentin Tarantino got to get that out with Inglourious Basterds then. This new French TV studio, I'm really excited to see how they handle where we're going.
Yeah.
It really punches home the idea that, sorry everybody, zombies will never go away. They will just find different places to set them and tweak the plot a bit and maybe add allegories to eat the rich or some shit like that. And you'll get more and more shit like this. And by that I mean these things that you watch with existential dread, because you're looking at these expensive, beautiful sets and all the costumes looks great. I even like the French... I even like French Kylo Ren's, like, new outfit, like, when he gets all better.
Yeah.
It's like, man, this guy's got swagger. I hate him.
Well, you're supposed to.
Yeah, and I'm looking at all that, and all I'm thinking is, man, you better have an ending, because I don't know if you're going to have a second season.
I did get the feeling a little bit that I mentioned Tarantino's movie, but only to say that it was about getting something on screen to get out some kind of cathartic whatever, I guess, is where revisionist history comes from. But with this one, the plague or this virus or whatever we're calling in this show that turns your blood blue and makes you eat people and stuff, it's a, you know, way to creatively rationalize the despicable things that were done to people at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a neat way, like I said, I talk about where it's going. Like, there is some shocking gore in this. There's not a lot. There's a lot of blood in the show, obviously, but like I said, we talked a little pre-show. There's a cold open, I think, of episode 4 that is, I mean, man, I watch all kinds
of... I mean, the very beginning of the show is a little girl chasing down a man and shooting him to death. It's not exactly kid-friendly.
Oh, for sure. And not only do we see blood, but it's spraying blood.
Ah, but the blood's blue.
Yes. The blood is blue and the story is not as we've heard it. So I like the idea of them taking something and not completely recontextualizing it, but trying to find a way that the genre doesn't find shoehorned. I think when you take anything serious and as dark as something like this, I don't know how anybody could be like, you know, this was a very, you know, by the book way to go about it. Like, it's a weird little genre show, but it's gorgeous. Like you said,
absolutely,
you can't beat these sets and this costume design. The music is insane. It's all done by a French artist named Saucette, I believe.
Saucette.
Although I will say I actually started laughing, and I won't give away the scene because of spoilers, but Fur Elise started playing and it involved the character Elise. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
We also get like some big beefy 80s synthesizers version,
yeah,
of Handel's Sarabande, and near the end, I think it's Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. If he had just changed the key a little bit, you wouldn't have known that's what they're referencing. But because it's this show, it reminds me of movies that have like plays in them. So that like, oh, we're going to the play, and you build in all this framework for the story. So we got, yeah, people backstage and the people in the audience and somebody selling tickets. There's so much here. I don't feel like they're using a whole lot of it yet, but that may or may not be their thing. But I just really jazzed. I had a really good time watching the series.
Yeah. And it's such a risky thing with period shows using modern or modern sounding music. Cough, Lovecraft Country, mm-hmm, cough. But this one pulled it off really well. That 80s synth thing they had going on really surprisingly fit.
Even the English dub is good.
Yeah, I watched some of it in English.
Well, you touched on a little bit of this, Robert. So, you know, as we've said many times, this is a zombie show. And when it comes to zombies, zombies are often used as a form of political commentary, social commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're putting them in the context of the buildup to the French Revolution, obviously there's going to be some kind of commentary there. So how did you feel using the zombies? First of all, the lore that was created in order to justify zombies, as well as their thematic reason for being there. How did you feel about the fact that we're putting zombies in the French Revolution?
I liked it because it wasn't the poor people who were the zombies.
For sure.
Because then you would have been watching rich people kill poor people. Like, we gotta protect ourselves. And here it's like, no, they, appropriately, the rich people are the monsters.
Yeah. At times, it's a little on the nose with the symbolism there. I mean, even down to the zombie vibe. Blue blood, you get it? But yeah, overall, it worked.
It was funny. I had my thought that this show was about a virus that infected the people at the top, and the people at the top were acting like it wasn't happening, and that was like a little too jarring for me to think about,
mm-hmm,
in the current context.
Yeah, I was like, when did you guys start writing this?
I dug what they're doing. Like I said, I think this is a way to tell a different take on this story, and you just mentioned, Doggy, that it wasn't the reverse. Might have been cool for a film, but for a show, I think this is way more interesting, and I'm interested to see how far they push it. A lot of these shows lean on religion. Although we had a priest in this and the church is involved, it doesn't seem to be about that. It seems, mm-hmm, that we're doing like a more genre type thing. And to me, that's neat. Like I said, I had questions about, was this kind of zombie, or was that this kind of vampire, or is this some kind of, and that you can get somebody to ask a question about a zombie in 2020, like, hats off from me.
Yeah, I like that they didn't just go with the traditional, you know, mindless zombies. It seems like it's just a condition that you can put upon yourself and still live a somewhat normal life, except your diet has changed.
You can be the best you. It just needs a high-protein diet.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the gym anymore, but you do have to eat.
Man, this story was so close to having an ending, and I just watched it just be swept away from me. It was like, okay, fingers crossed then.
It's setting up a cliffhanger, obviously. And how well did you think that cliffhanger worked? Because I know that there are some series that when you get up to the end, they just fuck up the ending and just make you angry. I have several series in mind that I'm thinking of where it's just like you had this buildup and the cliffhanger utterly ruined all of the buildup.
Yeah.
So do you think that the cliffhanger in this enhanced the show or detracted from it? I know Doggett has some opinions.
I mean, it all depends on whether or not they get another season. If they do, then yeah, it's a decent place to leave it, leave you hanging for more. But if it's not, it's a little presumptuous of them. But I hope it does continue because I know I made this joke already, but watching it about four or five episodes in, I was full on, you know, when are they going to get to the fireworks factory? Because it's just so much setup and so many characters and so many things going on and not always a lot of payoff for it. It's like, you've got this big thing that you told us you're about and you're not doing it. When are you going to do the thing? So hopefully if they make another one, they'll get some more payoff.
I dug that they decided to look forward with what, you know, we're calling the cliffhanger instead of having it be plot reveal.
True.
I think that's something that's real risky in season ones where it's like, it was her dad. Like, what? Like, we don't need to go all the way back. So I think the idea at this, you know, we could have ended right before where we end up in this one, but instead it's more of a nod to like, hey guys, might want to get on Twitter and ask to see some more of this. But I dug it.
This show is lucky that it has a history book to be its ending, so you can infer what happens to all these characters. This show is lucky.
Well, that's actually the reason that I liked the cliffhanger, because it's like, you know how it's going to end.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
It's going to end with a whole bunch of heads in baskets and pretty much anarchy and chaos and the fictionalized Scarlet Pimpernel running around. So I love the fact that they had this setup of, we're going to take our time to set up the invasion of the Bastille, to set up the beheadings in the streets. But you know it's coming. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to tease what's going to happen next because you already know. So we're just going to tease the setup of it and take our time to establish it. That I really like.
It does, now that I think about it, kind of feel like season one was a live look on the local hamlet before we go to the big story. So that was neat because, like, if you had just set this entire thing in France and started it the way it did, they couldn't have had that budget to have every hallway be 5,000 square feet.
That a horse can ride through.
We even got some dressage in the show. Yeah. Didn't disappoint.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it was really sweet. And side saddles, man. I don't know. Anyway. So how about we get into final thoughts? Rose, how about you start?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I liked, not loved it. I would definitely give a recommendation if anybody out there likes historical fiction, zombie fiction, or, you know, that mix of the two. I don't know if I would necessarily watch it again, except perhaps to re-up on my knowledge of it for a second season. I thought it was both under and overcooked at different points, but the production value of it was absolutely gorgeous. The costumes, the cinematography was all like HBO level. It was very impressive for a Netflix show. And I think I would give it 7 heads rolling with brains still intact.
And what about you, Robert?
I'm going to give anybody that might be on the fence who had never heard of this, who for some reason would still be listening to this review, who might want some encouragement. So I'm going to tell you, watch a lot of TV, watch a lot of movies. These are things that I think I saw in this show that were in no other show I've seen in the last year or two. Okay, maybe this first one. You've seen double agents. You've seen double crosses. You've probably seen voodoo. But we got possibly a prison break, some wildly horrific nightmare sequences, some mass poisonings. We got some plague doctors. We got a blue leather suit. We got a big creepy church. We got a big creepy tree. We got secret doors. We got patricide. Siblicide, Unmurder. Have you seen Unmurder in a show lately? We got a possible plan by the bourgeoisie to become immortal hemovores and attack and dethrone God. We've got some zero range knife play. We've got a score that goes from classical music through a synthy 80s lens to straight up classical music to straight up Max Richter strings to straight up Philip Glass piano that just lays a really nice blanket. We got velvet cloaks. We got caves. I can't say enough. This was the show of the summer for me. I watched a lot of stuff this summer. Man, I just had a ball. By the time we got to episode 5, I started getting sad because I knew I couldn't finish it all at once. And I haven't really watched anything all at once in a while. And so I had a blast. I'm going to give it a wholehearted 8 out of 10 people in line for a blood test in a cave. I know you haven't seen that in a show in a long time.
And you dug it.
Listeners, you have to hurry. There's only a few more days till Halloween. Fit in as much spooky shit as you can, and luckily for you, this show falls in line with that. As everybody says, there's some graphic, horrific stuff in this, and I enjoyed all the actors and the actresses, and like I said, I'm just being petty because I don't feel like I got a conclusion. Maybe that's just me holding weight against the show for no reason. But I did still like it. It's still a beautiful show. And really, come on. They're killing rich people. I love this shit. Come on.
It's my favorite song. Turn it up.
I'm going to give this a 8 out of 10 Avatar Season 1 endings.
I really enjoyed it too. Several of you mentioned just the fact that there's so much stuff in this.
Yeah.
And in a lot of other shows, when you add too much stuff, it becomes cluttered. You have this plotline over here getting attention while this one falls by the wayside, and things don't get explained, and so you just end up feeling, you know, not satisfied. This one doesn't do that. It has so much stuff in it. It has murder mystery. It has, you know, as you put it, CSI. It's got historical reenactments, it's got revisionism, it's got a romance aspect to it, it's got supernatural, it's got prison, but I mean, it has all of these things, and yet none of it feels like anything is getting shafted. All of it feels like it really flows together and is very cohesive. And that was really surprising because so many other things just do not do that well. And it was really engaging. And even though the season is only 8 episodes long, it didn't feel like anything was rushed. Mm-hmm. And it also didn't feel like anything was left out beyond, well, let's see what happens in the second season. But that feels like it was planned, not just, we have to stop now. Oh, no. The performances are strong. As a massive history nerd, I loved the way they were able to connect such a weird concept of French Revolution plus revenants and managed to make it work. You know, I was very impressed. I'm going to tune in when the next season comes out because I've wished it into existence. And I will be there when they storm the Bastille. So, I am going to give it 8.5 unintentional references to Les Miserables. Because when the Duke dude in his lovely blue suit went up to them, did that not remind you of the barracks? Did you not expect somebody with a flag just waving, do you hear the people sing?
We weren't supposed to tell anybody about the Hugh Jackman cameo thing. You blew it.
Damn it. Just make sure you don't tell anyone about Russell Crowe singing. Just ignore that part.
Look for CSI Versailles on Channel 4 this fall.
Mm-hmm. Especially the musical episode.